Good evening, everybody. I'd like first to thank all of you for coming on this very dreary, rainy day. And I'd like to thank Beryl, Dorothy, Francisca, Moira, Herbert for inviting us, the Casino Luxembourg and the MGBK. I think a lot of people are a little bit familiar with Periphery, and Beryl has given a really nice introduction. And I think also what is really interesting is the context in which this is happening with the other possible worlds. Because in a lot of ways, Periphery is a very utopic project. So I think I'll just start directly with this presentation that I've made, and then I'll talk about it in between. It is a nomadic space for hybrid practices. It is housed on a ferry. I'd like also to start talking a little bit about Desire Machine Collective, which is actually the association which runs Periphery. It is started by Mrigank Malgalia and myself. And we started again as a group of artists in a very, very different context. Now, just to give you a little bit of a background, the space itself, where it is located, is the northeast of India, which is a very different context in terms of India. So we started in 2004 working as an artist collective, and slowly we realized, we were working with a lot of visual mediums, but very, very quickly we realized that if we want to work in the northeast of India, we really need to work through the question of space. I will get into this a little bit later, but that was, a really, really important thing for us at that point. So we look at space as a medium in art practice and also as an evolving concept. In a state of disuse, spaces become liminal and interterrestrial and open up to new interpretations. This leads to what Foucault calls heterotopias. Foucault describes the ship as the ultimate heterotopia, a fragment of space that contests or compensates for the spaces we live in usually. So Periphery is actually a project space which is housed on a ferry. The ferry is called MV Chandralinga. This ferry was made in 1978, and it has traveled to Bangladesh and other places several times. It is a ferry boat which was used to transport people and goods up and down the river. In the British colonial times, trade through the river got a huge impetus. The slow-moving traditional boats of the locals were replaced by petrol-driven steamers to export tea and other products outside Assam. This was done usually through the river route to Calcutta and Bangladesh, and then through the sea route to England. The first steamer service was introduced in Assam in the 1840s, and it became more frequent in 1962 when a river steamer company called J.M. Williamson was started. So for over a century, steamers played a vital role in transport of people and goods throughout the valley and beyond it. But gradually, from the 1950s and post-independence, road transport became more important. There were several bridges which were built, and steamer service became less frequent. And a number of ferries, as you can see in the images, lie abandoned and disused on the banks of the river. And at this point, we were, working in this area, and we came across a number of these steamers. And we realized that these are potential public spaces which we could actually, use. But then started this entire process of actually, trying to reclaim one of these as a public space. Because I spent a lot of time in Berlin last year and realized this whole concept of squats and how, a lot of spaces can be actually taken over. But in India, the context is completely different. The whole concept of squat does not exist. And at that point, we really felt that this could be a very vital public space. So what we did is we actually started talking with the government, because the government owns these ferries. So we started, a talk and negotiation with the government. government as to how can we rent it or lease one of these ferries, which were completely disused. And very quickly we realized, like a lot of other things in India, that it's just a very, very complicated bureaucratic process, and to get around it would be a really long drawn battle. So, but anyways, we started that process, and in the meantime what happened is we started using that space, because we found few of the, you know, ministers and bureaucrats were very sympathetic to what we were trying to do. So they gave us permission to actually use the space, and this was in 2007. So since then we've actually been using that space without any legal contract. So it, essentially it has turned into a kind of a quasi-squat. So now I just go back into a little bit of the background. This ferry is actually, it's on the river Brahmaputra, which is 2,900 kilometers in length. It is the most important transnational river. It starts in Tibet, flows through China, India, Bangladesh into the Bay of Bengal. It has various names in, you know, different countries. It's called Tsangpo in China, Padma and Yamuna in Bangladesh. It's also really, you know, important in terms of the local context, because it plays a very important role in the, as a myth in folk stories, in cinema, and it's really a really very, very integral part of the local scene. But what it's not is, it's not a very important part of the national imagination. So, you know, now there is a lot of crisis, because there are talks about China building a dam on the river and diverting the water, but India is not taking a strong stand, because it's really not part of, you know, because rivers like Ganga and Yamuna, which are really important myths for the nation, Brahmaputra is not. So it's really not taking a stand regarding all these, you know, reports, but it will drastically change the entire area, and it will have a disastrous effect if China does build this dam, which, you know, there are a lot of unconfirmed reports about China doing that. So that also has become a really important, you know, issue for us. So now, geographically, Northeast India is isolated from rest of India. As you can see in the image, it's that triangular portion next to China and Bhutan, which is Northeast of India. And it has 99% borders which are international. It has only a 20 kilometer small stretch which it is actually connected with the rest of India. It gets a very, this landlocked situation, the country, you know, the region actually experiences a space block, and there is a restriction of flow, because historically there has been a huge amount of, you know, interaction with Southeast Asia, and because it lies between Southeast Asia and South Asia, there was a huge flow of people, goods, and now that is blocked because the borders are blocked and there is no trade which is allowed through that. So the fallout is a lot of insurgency and counter-insurgency. There, you know, since independence, it's experienced huge amount of violence, and it has over, you know, 300 militant groups which essentially operate in this area. So now I come to the part of actually talking about the project and the ferry. It essentially converts a disused ferry into an art space. It attempts to create what sociologist Manuel Castle calls spaces of flow, a space generated by the constant flow of people, information, ideas over a large distance. And again, I'd like to go now into the history of how it all started. As you know, I was telling you earlier, what happened is that once we started taking over the space, then there was a huge resistance by the people who actually lived there, because even though it's disused, there's a huge, the government department, the Inland Water Transport, actually owns it, and so there are a lot of people who are living there and taking care of it. So they were completely, you know, against the idea of a group of people coming in and, you know, taking over their space, because they live there, they eat, drink, you know, make merry, they do all their daily functions there. So people were very, very resistant to anybody else coming in. But we were, you know, of course, we were sympathetic towards their problem, and we could see that why they were not like somebody just coming and doing art there, because firstly the context of art also does not exist in the Northeast. It's not even like a metropolis like a Delhi or a Bombay where, you know, art exists and people are aware of it. There is hardly anything happening. There's one commercial gallery, there is one government gallery that operates, and contemporary art scene is non-existent. So what we started doing is actually working with the community, with the people there, and we involved them in very direct and indirect ways in the projects that we were doing. And slowly, you know, over the last 3 years, what's happened is it's actually become a community art project also, because people are really very interested in what we're doing now. And whenever we have an artist working on the ferry, we actually have a lot of the people who are living there actually contributing in all kinds of ways. We have, you know, dinners which we are hosting. They are, you know, the people, they come in, or they would host a lunch for us. So it's become very, very, you know, synergetic, which is very interesting for us also. So the flow of energy, food, information, etc. is again what, you know, is very central to the project. Periphery negates the concept of space as a static entity where time flows. On the contrary, the stagnant ferry is a place marked by constant flow, linking people across the globe, arriving and departing, exchanging ideas, resulting in the creation of a networked space of flow. And space in this context is not in a state of inertia, but that of incessant flow. So this flow is actually something that, you know, of course, inspired with the concept of the river itself, we are very closely looking at. So we have different kind of projects happening on periphery. This image is from a workshop which we did with the local communities. Northeast also has a lot of, you know, very development NGO kind of work happening, which also we are engaging with in a very, you know, a different way, because we have a critique of this entire developmental model. These images are from a very long-term residency done by a Belgian artist. What he did is he actually studied the local, you know, methods of construction and different materials, and he ended up making a food spiral. So what he's using is bamboo, which is a very locally grown material, and he made a spiral which actually could grow food, but it also worked as a water filter. So it filtered the water of the river, and the water went back into the river. And the plants that actually grow on the spiral are not something that he planted. He just wanted to, you know, let whatever is there in the soil to emerge. And these are images after, you know, many months of, you know, the end of the project, and it continues. So this is the spiral which actually dominates the landscape of the ferries, and there are still a lot of, you know, very different kind of things growing there. What he did also is he created a lab situation where he created solar cells. He made solar cells, edible solar cells actually, which could be eaten by the people. And the idea of the spiral was to grow plants, and those plants then he would use to make edible solar cells. And his emphasis is not on, you know, the use aspect of solar energy, but just the poetics and the voices of the photovoltaic effect. Here again, as you can see, the idea is to involve people, to have workshops, to have you know, different kind of platforms where people can engage with artists, and it's never, you know, a completely isolated kind of process. These are again excerpts from his video. He observed this one person who actually cleans ears, and he has a mirror on his head, so he follows the sunlight throughout the day. So he thought this person was, you know, the person who knew most about solar energy in the city of Guwahati. This is a project which again looks at health and healing. And this artist, Christina, she did a research on local herbal medicinal plants, and then had a community cooking session with people. So again, she also made a book out of it and wanted people to actually re-engage with a lot of these things, because what's happening as it happens in, you know, places, as an urban center, a lot of these, you know, knowledges are really getting reduced. People are not really engaging with it. They're heavily dependent on, you know, Western medication, and they're not looking at just what they have in their backyard. So she wanted to again reconnect people with a lot of these. Now, this is again a very interesting project. It was done in a student workshop situation. It looks at water. So what's happening is you have this huge river flowing through the city, but there is a huge amount of water scarcity in the city. So people are actually dependent on groundwater for their daily use of water. So, and also what's happened, near the, where the ferry is docked, there are a lot of homeless people who live. So there is, again, no water for them at all. So this was a student workshop where the student installs taps in two locations. One was on the bank and one was on the ferry. So he wanted actually just to look at the symbolic aspect of creating a tap and what kind of reactions it generates from the people around. This is again from Bartleboo's project, where he created that spiral. The water gets filtered and goes into these pots, which are again locally used by people to carry water, and then back into the river. This again is not something which is has any kind of use value. It's just very symbolic and poetic. There are artists who have actually lived on the ferry. This is an artist called Sanjay Ghosh. He actually created a living space on the ferry with tents and other things, and he wanted to activate the space for the community. And a lot of people who lived around came and engaged with him, told him stories which he was recording, and he created a small film at the end of it. There has been events, musical events. Again, the idea here is to do, this was something which came from our, friends and musicians around. They strongly felt that there was no space for them to jam. There were only, spaces where they would have to perform for an audience. So for themselves, they did not find enough space. So they actually asked us whether they could do it, and they didn't want, much of an audience. So there were many occasions where they just came and jammed and actually, experimented with sound, which was very interesting. We've had also performances. This is also a local artist who wanted to do an experimental piece. This piece is called Technicolor Dreams, and it deals with very sensitive issues of violence in a certain area of Northeast, which is called Nagaland. This event was also very interesting for us because it was a performance, and it actually drew in a lot of crowd. There was the usual, crowd which came, but also there was some road work which was happening around where the ferry is located, and huge number of people just came in. I think because of the nature of the space, which is not a white cube or a building, a lot of people don't feel this inhibition of actually entering the space. So a lot of times we have a lot of crowd which comes in, which is not the usual art crowd or the cultural crowd, which for us is very interesting. So we've had also different kind of symposiums and seminars. This was a much more international event. We had people coming in from Hong Kong, from Europe, and from different cities in India. This happened over 2 days, and again, we actually worked with the format. It wasn't a very, very, super formal event, and it spanned over 2 days. And also what becomes very interesting is that the space is extremely flexible, so it can become, it can hold theater, it can have a symposium, it can have different kind of musical events. So it just changes with what is the requirement. And that's why also we don't want to, you know, build too much on it. We want it to remain the way it is, so that we can actually, so that it remains flexible and open. This is another symposium we had, which is a collaboration with another group in England, and yeah, so these are some of the ways in which we, you know, try to define it, define periphery, and I'd like to, you know, go a little bit also into the future of what we are planning, which is we have some really interesting, you know, projects lined up. One is an engagement with the whole idea of river and energy. So we want to look at different materials for building, water, food, sensors, energy, waste disposal, and make the ferry into a self-sustaining space. So in this also we want to, you know, look, make it into a model which is completely self-sustained, so that the government also kind of takes notice and tries to do something about all the other ferries which are lying around. Because there's not much use, other use that's being done. There are just a couple of other restaurants, or there is one bar which has been built, but there is a potential of using a lot of these ferries, because you know, in the entire Assam there are more than 200. So we would like to actually, you know, push this so that it becomes a self-sustaining space. We also want, one thing that we haven't done with the ferry at all till now is move it. So it's always been static, also because of the questions of power and energy and how do you, you know, justify that kind of movement. But now what we are planning to do is we've also got a very interesting project lined up for this, because the idea of movement also we want to kind of understand further, that why do you have this whole need to move. So we have a project called Narratives of Brahmaputra, by which we want to connect a lot of the other rural areas, because even though Guwahati itself is really, you know, so-called remote in the sense of India, but there are a number of other, you know, places which we would like to connect Guwahati with. So we want to do projects which while the ferry is moving, we have workshops and we have a group of people working on the ferry itself. So for 15 days we would be moving and having connecting two areas specifically. One is a river island called Majoli, and the other is Kokrajhar, which is again about 10 days away from Guwahati. So these are the two projects that we are, you know, planning with periphery in the future.